Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed, with the Muslim Review. We have a very good show for you today. Let me start by saying, Alhamdulillahi ta'ala, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu, wa nu'min bihi, wa natawakkalu alayhi, wa na'udhu billah min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu. من يدله فلا هادي له واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now we want to say that we give our praise to Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He exalted and glorified. Again, welcome to our show, The Muslim Review, with your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. The call-in number is 929-477-2385. We have a very interesting show for you today. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving and how that relates to Muslims and how the ruling, what are some of the rulings about Thanksgiving Day and celebrating Thanksgiving and going to have turkey and cornbread and macaroni and cheese with grandma and all that. There's been controversy about this holiday, like other holidays in the past in the American Muslim community. We have a penchant to make things prohibited sometimes when they aren't really prohibited, or to make things permissible sometimes when they are not permissible. We're Muslims, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, and given the fact that we're that we want to do the right thing, you know, and we want to do what's right by Allah. You know, we want to do it right by our religion. If somebody starts talking about something that's haram, then we jump right on it. But it's not always the case. That's the thing. You know, sometimes the rulings are incorrect. Now, let me say something about Thanksgiving and about food and eating in general, because eating food and eating is one of the most basic functions of humanity. Everybody has to eat. You don't have a choice. You know, should I eat? No, you have to eat. You have to eat on an almost daily basis, unless you want to, you know, go a couple of days without eating. You're starving. You know, you're fasting. You're trying to lose weight or something like that. But people have to eat. Eating is necessary, and so before you make eating prohibited, you really have to be very, very, very clear, you know, about what the ruling is, to know what you're talking about, because everybody has to eat. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is very clear about what we should not eat. He says, حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالدَّمَ وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغِيرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. To start, he says, blood, flowing blood, is prohibited for you. Dead animals are prohibited for you. And eating pork, the meat of the pig, is permitted for you. These things are prohibited for you. Blood is prohibited for you. Meat of the dead animal is prohibited for you. And the meat of the swine, of the pig, is prohibited for you. And things that were consecrated in other than the name of Allah, that were blessed in other than the name of Allah, those things are prohibited for you. Allah is clear about what's prohibited. Now, the question and what we want to talk about today, and I'll take your calls. The number is 929-477-2385 if you want to call in with a question or a comment. Today the topic is about Thanksgiving. Can a Muslim go to grandmom's and participate in Thanksgiving dinner, yes or no? And as I was saying, when it comes down to food, we have to be very, very clear. Because food is laid out and people have to eat. But let me say something that Allah says in Quran about eating in general. Well, first we mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet first came into Medina while he was still walking, entering into Medina. One of the first recorded statements of his was when he said, Ayyuhannas, افشوا السلام ادعموا طعام وصلوا والناس نيام تدخلوا الجنة بالسلام. He says, O people, spread the salams, feed food, and pray while people are sleeping, and you will enter Jannah peacefully, or you will enter Jannah in safety. In another hadith, a person asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the best type of Islam? And he said, it'amu ta'am wa ifsha'u salam, feeding food and spreading the salams. Now, what does Allah say about eating with your family in general? Allah says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Laysa 'ala al-a'ma harajun wa la 'ala al-a'raji harajun wa la 'ala al-maridi harajun wa la 'ala anfusikum an ta'kulu min buyutikum aw buyuti aba'ikum aw buyuti ummahatikum aw buyuti ikhwanikum aw buyuti akhawatikum aw buyuti a'mamikum aw buyuti 'ammatikum aw buyuti akhwalikum aw buyuti khalatikum aw ma malakat mafatiha أو صديقكم ليس عليكم جناح أن تأكلوا جميعا أو أشتاتا. فإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تعقلون. This verse is from Surah An-Nur, verse I believe is number 61. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there's no blame upon the blind. There's no blame upon the blind, nor any blame upon the lame, or any blame upon the sick, nor any blame on yourselves if you eat from your houses, or the houses of your fathers, or the houses of your mothers, or the houses of your brothers, or the houses of your sisters, or the houses of your father's brothers, or the houses of your father's sisters, or the houses of your mother's brothers, or the houses of your mother's sisters, or the houses that you have the keys to those houses, or the houses of a friend. There's no sin on you, Allah is saying here. There's no sin on you, whether you eat together or you eat by your or you eat by yourselves. But when you enter houses, salute one another with a greeting from Allah, blessed and sweet. He says, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتَ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِنْ عَنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبَةً. And then he says, كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ. He says, and in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes clear his revelations for you so that you may understand. And he look at how Allah mentions here at the end, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعَكِلُونَ, so that you can understand. Now, here's the thing. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were a convert community. So many of their relatives, their fathers, their brothers, their children, their aunts, their uncles on both sides, mother and father, their grandfather, even the Prophet's uncle, Abu Talib, was a non-Muslim. Some say he was a straight mushrik, an idol worshiper. So during this time, the Muslims, their relatives, by and large, were not Muslim. But they had been accustomed to eating at given times in the houses of their relatives, in mom's house, in grandpa's house, in auntie's house, in uncle's house, or your brother's house, or your sister's house, and so on. That was a custom, not just of the Muslims during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's a custom of people since the beginning. People eat with their family. That's what people do. They may eat at home. It is a common thing for a person to want to go to their father's house to visit them. or to go to their brother's house to visit, to go to their aunt's house to visit. And it is a common thing for human beings, period, to feed food. Every single culture does that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his wisdom, before we even talk about Thanksgiving, Allah in his wisdom outlined very clearly, very succinctly, that it's permissible if you're blind, if you're sick, if you're crippled, or if you're healthy, that you can eat in your own house. You can eat in your mother's house. You can eat in your father's house. You can eat in your sister's house. You can eat in your brother's house. You can eat in your paternal aunt's house. You can eat in your paternal uncle's house. And you can eat in your maternal aunt or uncle's house. You can eat in your friend's house. And he mentions la junaha alayk. You know, that there's no junaha, there's no blame, there's no harm. وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاهٌ أَن تَأْكُلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ أَشْتَاتًا. And it's no blame on you whether you eat together or you eat by yourselves. So now, you got Thanksgiving coming up. Okay, and we got family. A lot of us have families who aren't Muslim. And Thanksgiving is the number one day, at least in the United States of America, where families get together to eat, to enjoy each other's company, to catch up on stuff. The number one day for that is Thanksgiving. So it would seem natural that if you want to go over to Auntie's house for Thanksgiving dinner, and then it's the day that people give thanks. So is it haram? No, it's not haram. The fatwas that make Thanksgiving haram in the beginning, they started to come from abroad. They started to come from, scholars who may mean well in other Muslim countries. And, you know, if you listen to my show, if you read my writings, you know I got an issue. Not with fatwa per se, because fatwas are beneficial to people if they're correct, if they're authentic, if they take into consideration the full breadth of the conditions of the people about whom the fatwa is made or to whom the fatwa is directed, I have no problem. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We believe in scholarship. I definitely believe and practice traditional Islamic scholarship. We follow kitab. We follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, some fatwas, like the one, you know, when people started to just make different practices, cultural practices that people do in the United States into a crime, and some people do, and some scholars have even said that being in America is a crime. If you're in America, you're a criminal. And some people tend to generalize, you know, and I can understand that and get that. The generalization by people outside of the country, everything and anything about America is haram because they may be at war with our country, or they may have bad experiences with our country, with our foreign policy. I understand that, but that doesn't make it law. And it doesn't mean that we should give in to every statement that prohibits a cultural practice in the country. You know, fatwas that apply to well-known and necessary matters of worship, aqidah, theology, and religious practices like salat and zakat and so on, they can be applied globally across all nations and people. Because with regard to issues like that, all Muslims are the same. They have the same obligations, the same responsibilities. Every Muslim has to pray. Every Muslim has to be kind to their neighbors. Every Muslim has to deal with the issue of inheritance. Every Muslim has to fast, except if you have a dispensation, a rukhsa, that you don't have to fast. And Muslims in general have to adhere to the same laws. That's just the way our religion works. However, Some issues have to do with specific people and not other people. Some issues have to do with people in certain regions, certain countries, certain cultures, where you have to be very careful about making rulings. Here we're talking about food, feeding. And we know there's nothing wrong with eating if it's not of the category of pig and things that were consecrated other than the name or blessed in other than the name of Allah or flowing blood. We don't eat cups of blood. We don't do that. You know, there's difference of opinion about the people of the book, their food. Although Allah says, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حَلُّ لَكُمْ, the food of the people of the book is permissible for you. The show is not about that topic per se, but I just want to give you the backdrop in understanding about Thanksgiving and why I wrote the fatwa about Thanksgiving being permissible. This on my blog, imamlookman.wordpress.com. Because the thing is, it's not uncommon. It's not common, and it's virtually unheard of. For example, a scholar in Egypt to render a fatwa against the people of Syria for what they do in their country, or for a scholar of Saudi Arabia to render a fatwa against the people of Bahrain for what they do in their country, or for a scholar of Lebanon or Algeria to render a fatwa against the Muslims of Sudan for what they do in their own country without having detailed, intimate knowledge of that practice, of that culture. Because when that happens, people tend to be insulted and take umbrage over that. There's a certain respect and acknowledgement of scholars to respect the boundaries, intelligence, and independence of Muslim peoples in other countries to understand their own condition and to handle their affairs accordingly. This gentleman's understanding should also extend to Muslims and converts living in the United States of America. When people go to their grandmom's house to celebrate Thanksgiving, then they think about celebrating Thanksgiving because, you know, that's a general term. What does it mean to celebrate Thanksgiving? Because people do Thanksgiving differently. And people spend the day in a lot of different ways. Some people might celebrate Thanksgiving by sleeping all day long because they have a day off, but they're even getting paid, alhamdulillah. Some will go down and watch football games. Some will go to a football game. Some people just do nothing. Some people have dinner. Some people go to their parents' house, go to their grandma's house, and so on. People do it in different ways. Some people celebrate Thanksgiving by just taking those days off. Some people celebrate Thanksgiving or they commemorate Thanksgiving by going down to the Thanksgiving sale at the mall to get 40% off, to get 75% off. People do that because the holiday is a cultural holiday. It's not a religious holiday. There's no specific religious ritual that a person has to do in order to have commemorated or celebrated Thanksgiving. This is what takes it outside of the ruling of doing a religious practice. And this is what makes it a cultural practice. It's a national holiday. If you want to read Quran all day on Thanksgiving Day because you happen to be off of work that day, you can do that. Banks are closed on Thanksgiving. Government offices are closed on Thanksgiving. So the whole idea that we talk about Thanksgiving being haram is really absurd. You know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, they knew by the guidance and by different verses that were revealed, they became to understand how to navigate their way through their society in a way as to avoid what was prohibited upon them. And this is true for most Muslims. Once they know what is prohibited upon them according to the Quran and Sunnah. And I'm not talking about tertiary fatwa right now. I'm just talking about from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. If Allah wants food to be haram, he's going to haram it. If he wants it to be haram to go over to your auntie's house, he's going to haram that because everybody got an auntie, man. Everybody has, or most everyone has aunts and uncles. Everyone has parents, a father, a mother, has that. So this is something, eating over your parents' house is something that every human being, every Muslim has to contend with that. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make that prohibited, then he would have done so. But that's not what he did. He went on and just clarified it. Laysa ala a'ma harajun, wala ala a'raji harajun, wala ala al-maridi harajun, wala ala anfusikum, an ta'kulu min biyutikum aw buyuti aba'ikum. He says, it's not, there's no blame, no haraj on the blind, or on the lame, or on the sick, or upon yourselves, to antakulu min biyutikum aw biyuti abaikum aw biyuti ummahatikum. And look how deep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about this. He says, it's no blame on you to eat from your own houses or the houses of your fathers or the houses of your mothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deep. He even took into consideration the one who maybe you have a mother, you don't have a father. Maybe your parents are separated or divorced. Aw buyuti ummahatikum. Aw buyuti ikhwanikum. Aw buyuti akhwatikum. Or the houses of your brothers or your sisters. This is during a time where the overwhelming majority, 99.9% of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they were converts to Islam who had family who were non-Muslim. And even the ones who weren't converts, the ones who were born into Islam, which is a few, the children of companions who were born into Islam and grew up during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whereas they became companions themselves, that was a very, very minuscule amount of people. And even in that case, it was very probable that they had relatives who were not Muslim. Not only that, relatives who were still mushriks, but still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's no blame for you to eat in their houses. So when it comes to Thanksgiving Day, you can see how the blame is not there. The argument is not there. The most often used hadith that Muslims use, and unfortunately scholars use this hadith too in ways that's not really accurate, is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, "Man tashabbaha bi qawmin fa huwa minhum." Whoever imitates a people, then he is from amongst them. Now, that is a broad general hadith. But people take that hadith when they want to, because scholars don't generally use that hadith across the board. They just use it when they want to haram something. If you want to haram something that somebody's doing, it could be because you just be a hater. You could be just, you just don't like it. All you got to do is say, you're imitating the kuffar. Now, the smarter scholars like Imam al-Qurtubi, Imam al-Nawawi, Imam al-Qurtubi specifically, because he was a Spaniard, and in Spain, the Muslims were confronted with different types of cultures, different types of, you know, different languages, different people, different religion than Islam. Muslims had conquered Spain for a while, part of Spain, but the people before that, they were Christian. They were Christian people. So Spanish scholars like Al-Shatibi, you know, like Imam Al-Qurtubi, they were able to get an idea of how it is if Muslims live side by side with non-Muslims, where in many other Muslim countries that didn't happen in the same case. You know, in during the Umayyad period, even during the time of the Prophet, or some of the time of the Sahaba, you know, they cleared the Arabian Peninsula of the mushriks. So if you were still there and part of the state, you couldn't outwardly practice shirk. That was, you'd get arrested for that. Christians were allowed, and Jews were allowed to live in Muslim societies, but they had to pay their jizya. They had to pay a special tax. And in different societies where Muslims and Christians live side by side, different developments, sometimes some points, even in Egypt, you know, under the Fatimids, it was a point where if you were a Christian, you had to wear certain type of clothing. You had to wear a certain type of dress. You had to wear something on your person to show I'm a Christian, to differentiate you from the Muslims. So scholars like Imam Al-Qurtubi, when they were living in these societies where Muslims and non-Muslims were living side by side, that the rulings weren't such as harsh about imitating kuffar, because people were imitating each other. People were doing the same thing. And then they had to make a distinction between something that's considered to be imitating kuffar or imitating somebody who happens to be from another country. So if you say for an American, born in America, raised in America, grew up in America, only speak English, but you're Muslim, and you do something because it's an American tradition, you can't make a claim you're imitating kuffar, because there's Muslims here. So you're imitating America. And so imitation of someone does not necessarily make it prohibited. That is what people miss from that. In today's modern times, people imitate everybody. You go to Muslim countries, sometimes their whole educational system is based upon American or British educational system. The military is set up according to Western civilizational systems. You go to Saudi Arabia, for example, and you have a psychological problem, you go see a psychiatrist, they're going based upon Freudian psychology. You're not getting no, you know, you're imitating. So the smarter scholars say that that hadith means imitating them in worship, doing something that only, you know, if you're going to mass, Thanksgiving Day, you're going to go to mass and you're going to cross the cross and you're going to drink the holy water. You will take the little tablet. I don't know how they do it mass. I'm not trying to insult any Christians. I'm not a Christian, never been a Christian. So I don't know what they do at mass, but I know they do some sort of a liturgy, some sort of devotional, you know, worship. That's what they do in churches, I'm pretty sure. So if that's what you do on Thanksgiving, now you're imitating, you know, people who are considered to be unbelievers, according to Islamic theology. But going to grandma's house, nah, don't cut it. Do you have to go to granny's house? No. But I want to point out some sunan, because I'm all for following the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But following the sunnah of the Prophet does not necessarily mean cutting yourself off from every aspect of your social situation. It doesn't mean cutting yourself off from your family. Yeah, you can see your family on other days than Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving is the day where all the family come together. That's the day everybody have off. I've heard that stupid idea. Well, you can visit them one by one. Oh, yeah, you can do that. Yes, you can. But it's not just about you visiting a member of your family. It's about your family visiting each other, coming together as a group. That's the difference. So when you go to Thanksgiving dinner, all your parents, you don't have to go to Thanksgiving dinner. You can keep your butt home. You can do nothing. You can do what you did the day before. But if you're one of those persons, one of those Muslims, and you're thinking, you know, on Thanksgiving Day, Aunt Jo Cousin Emma, Auntie Sarah, Grandma Mabel, whoever it is in your family, my nieces, my nephews, I ain't seen them in so long. So we're going to be over at so-and-so spot on Thanksgiving Day, eating food and, you know, just having a good time catching up. Like a little sense. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلُ وَيَحْصَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ يَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. He says, those people who maintain the relationships that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded be maintained, and they fear the Lord, and they fear a bad ending or a bad reckoning. If you're thinking that, you're not thinking just you visiting your relatives. You're thinking about the relatives being together, the family being together. You want people, you know, people like their families to be close. I like my family to be close. Most of my family is on the East Coast. I live in California. I wish I could go to Thanksgiving dinner over my Aunt Carol's. If you're listening, Carol, I love you, Auntie. I wish. I was closer. I wish. Then my kids could see other parts of my family that some of my children haven't even met. If it wasn't so expensive. Anybody want to send me some tickets? I'm going to be left. But let me look at some, talk about some operative principles of Thanksgiving Day, because Thanksgiving Day, and I'm not, again, I'm not promoting that anybody do Thanksgiving. But I am demoting anyone who want to go out and tell people that Thanksgiving Day, or you going to your grandma's house and eat some macaroni and cheese or some turkey on Thanksgiving is haram in Islam. I'm debunking that on my show today. But one, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being thanked. And Allah says, وَلَئِن شَكَرَتُمْ وَلَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِن شَكَرَتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. He says, if you're thankful, I shall increase you. And that's one thing that Thanksgiving does. It makes people thank. People just remind you to be thankful. Allah says, he says, فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for verily remembrance will benefit the believers. And that's one thing that happens during Thanksgiving Day. Now, shouldn't a Muslim thank Allah every day? Yeah, darn tootin'. He should thank Allah every hour. He should thank Allah every half hour. He should thank Allah every 15 minutes. You should always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But don't begrudge anyone or a society who takes out a particular day to emphasize thanking Allah or being grateful. You can say they're not thanking Allah. They're thanking, you don't know who, people generally say they're thanking God. They can say they're thanking Jesus. Now, I don't think that we should be thanking Jesus for the creation, because we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'd rather a person enter into thanks than being ungrateful, because being ungrateful has its own evil and its own badness that's associated with it. Another thing that happens on Thanksgiving is it comes from thinking of being grateful. Showing your gratitude for the favors of Allah. Well, it says, فَبِأَيِّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Another thing that happens on Thanksgiving Day is that you're keeping family ties. Not the only way to keep family ties, but it is one effective way of keeping family ties. And many people in this country, that's what we look for on that day. That's what they look forward to, keeping family ties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am the Rahman. In the Qudsi Hadith, he says, I am the Rahman. And I have created the Rahim, the womb. and I've taken from my name and made part of that the name of the womb. I've named the womb with from my name, which is Rahim. Rahim comes from the Rahman, Rahima. You know, the word Ar-Rahman is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that He took from His name and He named the womb. And He said, whoever stays connected to the womb stays connected to me. Whoever breaks off connection from the womb, they broke off their connection from me. So you're maintaining the relationship. And of course, feeding food. You don't want to mess around with trying to haram feeding food. Some stuff just gets me. No, you don't want to mess around with that. If the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to prohibit Muslims from visiting their families during certain days of the year, because they did still continue in Mecca and in Medina, people still continued to have their holidays. The Muslims' holidays were cut down to the two Eids because the prior holidays, all the holidays of the Arabs, except in some cases, maybe with the Christians, maybe with the Jews, not so much, were associated with the worship of idols. Do you know what the worship of idols is? You know how deep that is? Well, Yusuf said, Ya sahibi sijni, a'arababun matafariqoon khayrun amallahi wahid al-qahar. Ma ta'abuduna min dunihi illa asma'a sammaytumuha antum wa aba'ukum ma anzalallahu biha min sultanin in al-hukmu illa lillahi amara alla ta'budu illa iyyah. And I'm just quoting from Surah Yusuf in the Quran where about shirk. Shirk is some deep stuff, man. You start taking idols, worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's some heavy stuff you're doing. And so Yusuf, when he was in the prison, he said, oh, my companions of the jail, I want to ask you a question. Are a whole lot of separate idols better, or is one supreme God better? All that you are worshiping other than Allah are names you have named you and your forefathers. Allah did not send down any permission for us to do that. Verily, judgment is to Allah, and He has commanded that you do not worship except Him, and that is the upright religion. So in a nutshell, and if you want to call in, the number is 929-477-2385. And if you call in, you might just hold on for a second, because if you call in, I did see a call, but I didn't get it. I was talking. But I'll get your call if you call in. Inshallah ta'ala. So shirk is a bad thing. So during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet gave people, Allah gave Muslims the benefit of the doubt that we know the difference between shirk and tawheed. We know the difference between polytheism and the difference between that and tawheed, monotheism. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the concession, hey, there's no blame on you if you want to eat at your daddy's house, at your mama's house, at your brother's house, at your sister's house, at your auntie's house, at your uncle's house, at your friend's house. Go ahead. Just keep in mind, you don't eat pork. Don't eat anything that's a blessing other than the name of Allah. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. When you do go to grandma's house, don't drink no blood. If you go over to the house and they say, hey, we're drinking blood today. No, don't do that. And don't eat dead animals. animals that now have been slaughtered. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, outside of that, it's as if Allah understands, I mean, he understands, but he's trying to get us to understand that the power of Tawheed, the power of monotheism, if somebody believes in one God, that feeling is going to produce a certain amount of guidance to know that if you go over grandma's house, okay, grandma, we're not eating in the name of Jesus, all right? And most Muslim families are willing to make that concession. When they're not, then that's now we're talking something different. They're talking about you're going to come over our house, you're going to eat in the name of Jesus, we're going to do everything in the name of Jesus. No, we don't do that. We don't eat in Jesus' name, okay? You need to understand that now. Okay, I'm going to take a call, inshallah ta'ala. Let me see. Here we go. Okay, caller. Assalamu alaikum. You're live with Imam Luqman on Muslim Review. Go ahead. Hello?
Brother Luqman?
Yes, this is Brother Luqman. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the show today.
This is Nabila in Philadelphia. I thought that the phone number was so that I could just listen in. I didn't know I was calling you.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you could listen online, Nabila. I'm not sure. And you know I'm not really big on technology, and I just started my show. But I think if you go online, even on your phone, if you click on the thing on my phone, they'll play the show. You can listen to the show live. And then the number you can call in. So you called in, but anyway, you got a question for me? But anyway, let me ask you a question. How do you like the show?
I just turned it on. That's okay. What I'm saying. I called them from my home phone because I'm used to listening to shows that usually you can either listen online or on the telephone. So I prefer listening on the telephone. But like you said, I'll have to go online.
Yeah, you can listen to the show online, I know for a fact, about listening on the phone, but I'm taking a note, and then my engineer is here, and she's writing that down. So by next week, we should have that taken care of. I just don't know for sure, you know, but I know you can listen online, but I'm going to find out, and I will post it whether you can listen on the show. Okay, sister, but thanks for calling. Jazakallah khairan.
All right. And, Wa alaikum salam.
Pass it around. All right. Okay, so as we were saying, there has been a lot of errant rulings about Thanksgiving. Now, there's some conditions now, because we are Muslim now, so you don't just do anything, okay? So if you're going to do Thanksgiving with your family, there's some conditions that you have to keep in mind, okay? I'm going to mention some of those, because you're Muslim. We just don't do anything. But what we do is we navigate our way because we live in a complex society. This is a complex society that we live in, man. There's all sorts of information coming in through all sorts of ways all the time, not just daytime, all 24/7. So we know the things that we have to do. We know we have to believe in Allah. We have to believe in the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. We have to believe in the angels. We have to believe in the day of judgment. We have to believe in predestination. It's good and it's bad. We have to believe we will meet Allah on the day of judgment and stand before him in judgment. And hopefully, you know, may Allah forgive us. So we have to believe all those things. But there's other things that come up all the time in these complex lives that we don't know whether or not we have to do it, whether we can do it. Thanksgiving is one of those things because it figures prominently in many people's lives, at least in the country. It's a national holiday. So as Muslims, what do? We navigate. You got to navigate through stuff. You just don't just throw everything out. Oh, Allah, haram, astaghfirullah. Unless it's something that Allah said it like that. Is all haram stuff or a shirt? All haram. Hey, leave it alone. We don't say it's all halal either. No, we navigate. Because this is the way life is. in the United States of America. So the first thing, if you're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, if you're going to commemorate Thanksgiving, the first thing is that you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ain't thanking Jesus. You didn't thank grandma. Because the Prophet said, Man lam yashkur an-nas la yashkur Allah. Al kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Whoever doesn't thank people, he doesn't thank Allah. So don't ever think you can't thank people. Say, hey, mom, thank you. No, this joint is awesome. Just lemon meringue pies off the hook, mama. And you can thank mama. But you have to thank Allah above and beyond for everything. But it's permissible to thank others as well. That's the first condition. Second condition, that you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on all the other days as well. You don't just pick Thanksgiving to be thankful to Allah. Now, if you're one of those ones who happen not to have been thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you happen not to be thankful to Allah, and then Thanksgiving kicked it in for you, mashallah, you need to step up your game, homie. But no, you thank Allah for all of the other days of the year as well, and not pick only that one day to be grateful to Allah. A third condition is that you do not participate in any activity that is prohibited in the religion, such as drinking alcohol, using intoxicants, displaying lewd and unlawful behavior. So just because you're going over to grandma's house, if they over there getting drunk, you ain't going to do that. You ain't doing that. Some scholars even make an argument you should even go over there. But I'm saying that, no, I wouldn't go that far. I'm saying that you have to use discernment, but that's not what you're going over there to do. And you shouldn't sit at the table where they are drinking alcohol. And you have to tell your family, man, hey, listen, if they're really about the family like that. Because if the family is saying, okay, listen, you Muslim, if you come over here, we ain't going to harass y'all and try to convert you. Then you have to wait. You have to wait. I wouldn't go. Me, personally, I wouldn't go. Y'all going to do it in Jesus' name? I ain't doing it. I'm telling you right now. Let's all agree on God. Just like Allah says in the Quran. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا نَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرَبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ Allah says, say, O people of the book, تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ Let us come together on a word that's agreeable between you and us that we should not worship except Allah. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ We should not worship except Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا And we should not associate any partners with him. وَلَا نَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرَبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ And let not any one of us take each other as lords other than Allah. So if you go to grandma's house, you go to auntie's house, you're not going to sit at the table where they're drinking alcohol. If they're going to be doing intoxicants right there in front of you, no, you ain't with that. You're not going to eat in the name of other than Allah. So I always, one time I was at one Thanksgiving, and I was, I was there, man. And they did the family did the Jesus thing on me. I think they slipped out. It slipped out. In Jesus' name, that's how I'm everything. I'm not going to sit around and eat in the name of Jesus. I won't. I won't do that because I'm starving. That I might do it. But I'm not going to do that. But most families understand that. Most families are willing to just, if they're really about the family. Another condition is that you don't waste food. Allah says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ He says, eat and drink, but don't waste. For verily Allah loves not the wasteful. Allah does not love the wasteful. Another verse, Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ He said, verily that the people who waste, they are brothers to the devils. So you don't waste food. Another thing is that, Thanksgiving, sometimes the dinners invite you to overeat. or to be gluttonous. And as a Muslim, you don't want to be gluttonous. You want to follow the sunnah if you can, to the best you can, which is to eat a third of your stomach food, third of your stomach air, third of your stomach liquid. That's the sunnah. Now, it may be a little harder doing Thanksgiving, but you know, people, and other feasts, not just Thanksgiving, man, it's hard to do it, a whole bunch of feasts that people have throughout the year, all over the world. There's a lot of food, and you're inclined to eat more food. That's just the way it is. But you want to try to the best of your ability, hold back on that and not overeat as a condition to going to Thanksgiving dinner. But these are conditions not for Thanksgiving dinner. These are conditions all the time. You know, so the bottom line, no. Thanksgiving Day is not haram. It's not imitating the kuffar. It's imitating America. And if you're an American, just because you're an American don't make you kafir. Doesn't that make you an unbeliever? Okay? Also, you know, you can't prohibit a day. That's another thing, stepwise. You can't prohibit. I'm laughing. But you can't haram a day. See, you can't make a whole day haram. All the days belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, Tilka ayamu dudawiluha bainan nas. He said, these are the days that we pass back and forth between the people. You can't make a day haram. But if you want to make something haram, if you, I'm sorry, it's not funny. It is kind of funny. If you want to make something haram, then what you do is if you find something in that particular day that is haram, then you can haram that if you're really about making the haram. But you can't make an entire day haram. You can't haram a day. A sheikh can't come and say, I'm making this whole day haram. Who the hell is he? Nobody can do that. I can't do that. That's who all this glory or unglory. But you can, things that happen on any given day, whether it's Thanksgiving Day or any other day, it could be prohibited. If someone does something that's disobedience to Allah, disobedience to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that goes against our religious canons as agreed upon by scholars, or goes against our belief system that has to do with the veneration of gods other than Allah, being grateful to a god other than Allah, drinking, drug use, because it's a holiday, excessive gluttony. Yes, these things are prohibited. But there's too many ways that people commemorate Thanksgiving for anybody to just blanketly say Thanksgiving is haram, is imitating kuffar, because that's insane. That's the kind of stuff that leads to so much of our American Muslim dysfunction. So that was our show today. I want to talk a little bit about my book. If you haven't gotten the book, a lot of people already gotten the book, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, I'm glad for some of the responses we've gotten. But the name of the book is called Double-Edged Slavery. Double-Edged Slavery. And it's a discussion, it's a detailed analysis of how indigenous African-American Muslim and convert Muslims in America have become, in many ways, a virtual colony under the greater Muslim community. How our way, the way that we think, the way that we have established and we operate in our communities, how we look at our own country, how we look at the world, how we even look at our religion is based upon multiple spheres of foreign influence in telling us how to think. That we think not based on our own reality, we think based upon what other people tell us we should think, just like the whole thing about Thanksgiving. The first fatwas about Thanksgiving came from outside the country. Like, dude, how are you gonna come here and tell us whether or not Thanksgiving? How are you gonna do that without questioning the people who've been here for their whole lives to get a fuller understanding of the holiday? But that's just not Thanksgiving. That's all kind of stuff. Indigenous American Muslims really respond to all sorts of things based on somebody else's reality, not even based on our own reality. People tell us who we can be friends with, who we can cooperate with, and who we can't. You got fatwas running around. Oh, you can't cooperate with them. You can't cooperate with them. And then you have another community. You have an entire other immigrant community. I'm not anti-immigrant, so miss me with all that. Who cooperate whoever they want to based upon their own self-interest. I remember a time when African Americans, you could even say he was black. Stuck below, we ain't no double nationalism in Islam, ain't about black. No, that's very true. Nationalism as your core ideology, that goes to Islam. If your blackness means more to you than your Islamness, but knowing who you are, that's part of Islam. Because of different colors of people. Allah says, the difference in your alwan, in alwanikum, in your colors, this is a sign. I couldn't remember the verse exactly. ومن آياته اختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم. Allah says, verily, from his signs are the differences in your tongues and your colors. This is a sign. But listen, African Americans in America, man, listen, African American Muslims, man, we live like slaves. We live like a second class resistance. We live like a colony. The thinking, the stuff that we have to deal with, the different stupid fatwas that come into our neighborhoods, into our lives. The way we function, people take advantage of the slave mentality of African American Muslims. That is the damn truth. And my book talks about it in very much detail. It's called Double-Edged Slavery by Imam Luqman Ahmed. It is available on Amazon.com and at Barnes & Noble. If you want to understand about our condition as African-American Muslims, not that we're the most important, because when another group of people in this country, Islam, are the most downtrodden, the most marginalized, the most disrespected people, I'll stand up for them too. But if you want to understand our condition, then get my book. It's called Double-Edged Slavery. It is available. I think it's like $14.95 or something on Amazon.com. And please go to my blog if you want to get a better understanding about this Thanksgiving thing or some of the things that I have spoken about on this show today and on a previous show. You go to my blog post at Imam Luqman, I-M-A-M, Luqman, L-U-Q-M-A-N, at WordPress.com. Imam Luqman at WordPress.com. And my book is called Double-Edged Slavery. And it is basically breaks down the colonial existence of African-American Muslims under the greater community. That's true. And we can't move ahead until we take care of that. That's just the truth. This stuff has been going on for a long time, but this book is based upon 40 years of direct observation, research, so many interviews, testimonials. But thank you for tuning into my show. We'll see you next week. Inshallah, if you're going to go out there to moms on Thanksgiving, be careful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. How'd that sound?
Awesome church now.
How's your show? Good? Okay, all right, we gotta do two more things.
What is that?
We wanna do a video for about 15 minutes.
Okay. Video.
Is that what that's for?
Yeah. They get weeds.
Weeds is a sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's supposed to go in a chair.
Hmm?
What's going on a chair?
Well, I'm going to tape it. Duct tape it. I'm going to grab it. Duct tape. Oh. You think it was a good show?
Hmm?
You think it was a good show? So now, we need this. Duct tape. Yay, the duct tape. Thank you.
I forgot your stuff. Do you have a camera?
How much are you from?
29.
Can you do 29 what makes?
Oh, or 35%.
Okay. Can you get your phone here?
Okay.
Let's do it.
If it doesn't die.
Okay. Okay, so here's a kind of picture we want.
What? Oh, is it in the car?
No, I want to be in a car. So, turn it around the other way.
Wait, you want me to?